At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show, border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. I am your voice of truth and hope and freedom, ladies and gentlemen. Wow, we've got a fun show today and a lot going on. We are anticipating sometime today the Attorney General of these great United States, one Pam Bondi, to begin releasing some of the details of the Jeffrey Epstein files. It was a little weird, her interview last night on Jesse Waters' show. And Pam Bondi says they're going to hopefully release it today. They're going to release some. So everything she said was sort of hedged. You had to read between the lines as far as what Bondi was trying to say. And I hope that happens. The documents have literally, and I don't mean this in a figurative sort of way, literally, the documents have been sitting on her desk. And we're well over a month into this administration, 2 months into this administration. And a lot of folks out there, a lot of you folk have been saying, all right, where are these names? Now, we know that according to the Attorney General, Pam Bondi, that there are more than 200 victims, maybe 250 victims. And she was trying to explain, and again, it was sort of a weird interview, but Bondi was saying, well, we've got to make sure that all the victims are protected, the names are protected. Okay, well, look, the government's had this information for ages now. So I would like to imagine that those names had already been redacted. That information is in fact protected. But it was almost as if they were using that as the excuse for explaining, well, this is the reason why we haven't released the names just yet. I'm just curious here, ladies and gentlemen, would you like to see, is it important for you to see the names and the information on those who committed these great atrocities? Now, I don't want to speculate too much here, and again, I want to give Pam Bondi the benefit of the doubt, but I'm wondering if this is actually Pam Bondi's decision to make. And the reason I ask that is there may, in fact, be some very important Republican names on that list. We don't know. I mean, it's been a great big uniparty for years. And, you know, there's a lot of debauchery on both sides of the aisle. Things that would make your toes curl. I'm telling you. I have to imagine there are a lot of people right now in Washington, in big business, on Wall Street, in Hollywood, in the music industry, and they're sweating like a sidewalk Sally in church. I'm telling you, they got to be sweating here. But I'm just curious, do you believe that this is important information that we need to get out there? And there may be, and it may be something as simple as you know, it takes a lot of time to get this information out. It may take years to release information from the federal government. I don't think that's the case. But if you've got the information, I say we've got to get it out there. So I'm curious to hear your thoughts on that. And if, in fact, that information is starting to leak out or if they release drips and drabs, we will bring that information to you. Let me say this, though. They need to release it all. Every single name. It doesn't matter who. We cannot protect people. And by the way, this is about men And I don't know if there are any women, but definitely men of great power that were doing horrible things to young girls. And I don't care what little letter is after your name. I don't care how many zeros you have behind the numbers in your bank account. That doesn't matter to me. We've got to get to the bottom of this. These people have to be held accountable. And that's the way it is. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. And if they don't release the entire list, it becomes problematic. And here's the reason why, and it's very simple, because at that point you have a cover-up. Why are you not releasing the names? Who else is on that list? So you're going to have to release all of the names. There's only one option here. That was the promise made. This is the promise that must be kept. We must know if there are perverts and monsters in the highest levels of our government, of our entertainment industry. We need to know who these people are. All right. Again, a lot going on. So we're just going to kind of do rapid fire here as best we can. So look, Republicans are now strategizing about what to do with food stamps and the welfare programs in this country. And Congressman Pat Fallon was on TV talking about this. And, you know, a lot of people are upset. They're saying that Trump is about to starve the population to death, that people aren't going to be able to get health care. And that's not it at all. I want you to listen to Congressman Pat Fallon here.
If you're able-bodied and you want to, you know, milk the taxpayer, those days are over. Get off the couch, stop eating the Cheetos, stop buying the medical marijuana and watching television. You're going to actually contribute now because the American taxpayer is fed up. And as Elon Musk mentioned in that segment prior, we can't fund the federal government anymore with these kind of deficits. When we're spending more on our interest payments, almost $1 trillion, than we are on our military, that should be a wake-up call that if we don't change course, we're going to lose this great republic of ours.
So look, they're going to be reforming all of this. And when public assistance first came into existence, the point of it was to help people through a difficult patch in their lives. And I suspect there are people in this listening audience that have been through some difficult times, and maybe it was the most difficult thing for them to do, which is to ask for some help. But that was the whole point. There was no intention of having people live generationally on the public dime. And that's what's happening here. And that's what the congressman is saying. And by the way, this is all about getting off your butts and getting to work. And if you are an able-bodied man, there's no reason why you can't find work. It may not be the work you want, but you got to have a job, a J-O-B. If you're working down at McDonald's or Taco Bell, or if you're digging a ditch, if you're working, it doesn't matter what you do, but you got to have a job. And if you are an able-bodied, and hear me on this, if you are an able-bodied man and you're not working, you're lazy. You're a lazy bum because there are jobs to be had. And again, they may be hard jobs. They may be difficult jobs. They may be dirty jobs, but a job is a job. And if you're working this job and you still can't make ends meet, then you know what? Then the government could step in and lend a helping hand. But better yet, why is the government having to step in at all? And I want to explain this to you, because a lot of our churches are no longer doing the primary job of the church. It was the church that people used to go to if they needed some help. Maybe they couldn't pay an electric bill. Maybe they didn't have enough food. But now the government stepped in, and the government is doing the role of the church, and it's not doing a very good job. And Ben Dieter brought this up just the other day, talking about how, you know, when you're eating, you know, and again, if you're going to be eating on the taxpayer dime, I'm sorry, but you're not going to be eating filet mignon. You're not going to be eating the choicest cuts of meat. You're not going to be eating the name brand products. And you know why? Because a lot of hardworking Americans who are paying for those food stamps for you, they can't afford that stuff. But beyond that, you don't need to be going out there and eating the Cheetos and the Doritos and the Ho-Hos. Those are all delicious things, but they're not healthy for you. And I love this idea of, okay, fine. Well, you're going to be on the government dime for food. At least you're going to be eating healthy food. And I don't know, maybe that would inspire people to go out there and get a job so they can get diabetes. I don't know. It's a free country. If you want to get diabetes, but not on my dime. I'm sorry, it is. Yes, I know, Dylan, it's diabetes. That's how we say it in the South. But if you want to get the diabetes, you got to get it on your own dime. That's all I'm saying here. And we don't want anybody to get diabetes. Diabetes. You know what I'm talking about. So anyway, we're going to be following through here. Look, Trump is not starving people to death. Let me say this, though. When you look at the average girth of the American person, we could stand to go without a few meals. I'm just saying. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Let me tell you what we've got coming up, folks. It's going to be a fun show. Troy Miller's going to drop by from National Religious Broadcasters. They're meeting in Dallas. Also, Rob Bluey from the Daily Signal. He is going to have some things to say about the White House Correspondents Association. And Tracy Ellis, who is the CEO of Real Talk Radio Network in St. Louis, our brand new affiliate. Tracy, one of the top real estate, luxury real estate agents in St. Louis. She's going to be joining us a little bit later on as well. It's going to be a lot of fun, and we're going to be taking your calls as well. Don't forget, if you are listening to us on delay, not noon to 3 Eastern, but on delay, you can always send us a shout-out. Download our free app at toddstearns.com, and you'll be able to leave us an app message, and we'll play that on the air. All right, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show. On February 28th, let me tell you what Focus Features is doing. They're inviting you to experience the most inspirational film of the year. It's based on an extraordinary true event, Last Breath, and it tells the story of a deep-sea diver trapped at the bottom of the ocean, only 10 minutes of oxygen left, and he struggles to navigate the pitch-black abyss while his teammates devise a daring plan to save him from certain death. So what happens next? Some people call it impossible. Others call it a miracle. Woody Harrelson, Finn Cole, Last Breath takes you inside a world of deep-sea high-pressure diving where every decision, every second, every breath is a life-or-death moment. Incredible performances, amazing visuals, and an uplifting emotional core. You're going to love this really immersive movie. Witness the most thrilling motion picture event of the year on the big screen. Get your tickets right now for Last Breath, rated PG-13. Maybe inappropriate for kids under 13. It opens February 28th in theaters everywhere. All right, welcome back, everybody. Happy to have you with us today. And I'm curious about the food stamp and the SNAP program is what they call it now. Do you believe that there needs to be some sort of a reform there? Because it just seems to me that, like Lyndon Johnson, going back to his great society, Lyndon Johnson was very intentional in wanting to make sure that impoverished people. And by the way, if you look at the numbers, there are, and this is, it's not racial, and I think there are more white people on food stamps than any other race. This is about people who have been conditioned over generations now. We're talking over 50 years, generations of families that have grown up in public housing, generations of people that have not been able to live the American dream. And it seems to me that Lyndon Johnson and the racist Democrats of the 1960s devised this public welfare system to really be a form of modern day slavery, chaining people to their reliance upon the federal government for everything, whether it be food or health care, education, housing, everything. Everything is reliant. Your entire life, you rely on the federal government. And when you do that, you will never be able to achieve the American dream, which is what that was the message that Donald Trump was bringing to people all over the country. All right, let's go to the phone lines. 901-260-5926. Marie in Georgia listening to us on WDUN. Hi, Marie. What's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. I kind of have a little bit of an argument with you, but not really an argument. as far as the food stamp program and other programs that the needy really need, my question and what I'd like to see happen is, I'll give you an example and make it short. We have a cousin that lives with us, and he is only 58 years old. He had a life savings earned up, and he ended up getting cancer. And he's on cancer treatment. His insurance that he has only pays like 60%, and he has wiped out his savings because of the cancer treatment. So we tried to get him signed up for government assistance because he worked three jobs his whole life, and the government took all the money, like the IRS, state tax, all that stuff. So my question is, with the food stamp reform and people that actually seriously need it, that, in my opinion, they're only getting some of their money back that the Internal Revenue Service has taken.
Well, look, Marie, first of all, my problem, there are so many problems, and I hear exactly what you're saying. And again, if you are a person in need, then, and you can't work, then yes, the government can step in and lend a helping hand. But what you've described here are failures in so many other parts of our culture and our system and what's happening in this country right now. And the fact that you can actually go overseas, and a lot of Americans are doing this now. They're traveling overseas or right across our border for major medical surgeries because they're so much cheaper. They're actually able to pay for them cash on hand because it has become just overwhelmingly expensive because of the insurance companies and all of that nonsense. So I think there are a lot of other factors involved here, Marie.
Right, but he went to the ER on February 18th. To get a scan done for his stomach, and he got a $21,000 bill in the mail.
It's unacceptable. Yeah, that's unacceptable. But and it was, look, Barack Obama made what was a bad situation even worse. And our medical system right now, it is absolutely appalling, Marie, appalling. And I'm going to tell you this. I am very fortunate that I've got the resource to do this, but I have a very good insurance plan. A very good insurance policy. Marie, you know what the problem I have is? I need to go see the doctor. It doesn't matter how great my insurance plan is. I can't see the doctor until, February, maybe April or May. I can possibly get in.
And the family member that we had tried to get an appointment instead of going to the emergency room, and it would be 3 months out. So when Trump does all this, and we're on the Trump train, when Trump does all this, I'm agreeing with Trump when he's talking about auditing the IRS and how much billions of dollars they're taking. And our governor in this state is one of the worst governors. He has hidden COVID money and stashed it. And now Drew Eccles, which is one of our representatives, is trying to get Tulane federal funds. And I'm glad Trump cut him off. I'm glad he did that, because we have so much infrastructure and all these cancers that are showing up, all of our medicines coming from China,
right,
all of our food coming from China. People that work their whole life and have a savings. The family member that we had over $900,000 in savings, and it was wiped out
in
less than 3 months.
And that is unacceptable. And again, we have to have massive reforms here, Marie. And it's going to be a lot. There's a lot that Trump has to get done. Marie, I got to run. We're going to have to take a quick break here. Are you ready for these numbers? You can actually travel to another country and get great medical care, all right? And you're going to be saving up to 80% on some of these surgeries, especially when it comes to expensive dental work. And I know people who've actually traveled to some even Eastern European nations. It's cheaper to go to a place like, we'll say Poland. It's cheaper to fly to Poland to have a medical procedure done. You can pay cash out of your pocket. It's cheaper to do that than actually have the surgery here in the United States of America. And by the way, the reason why people who have tremendous emergencies can't get seen in the emergency room is because of what she just said, what Marie just said. Nobody can go see a doctor. You're talking, you're sick, and they can say, we can see you in 3 or 4 months. That's messed up. All right, 901-260-5926, our number. This is the Todd Stern Show. Folks, we have some exciting news about MyPillow. They're having their first ever mega sale. Oh, that was, we needed some sound effects.
Where did that come from?
Mega sale. MyPillow having their first ever mega sale on overstock clearance and brand new products. For example, Ben Dieter, you're going to need these. You need 50%. You're going to save over 50% on flannel sheets. Queen size bed only $59.98. King size sheet $69.98, and they sell out fast every year. So you got to get on and order that right now. You can also save 30% on their brand new My Crosses. They're designed in the likeness of the one that Mike Lindell has worn every day for over 20 years. They come in men's and women's styles, and they're made right here in the USA. Get the 2025 6-piece My Towel set for only $29.98. Their quantities are extremely low, so you're going to want to get them now before they go. And I can't forget to mention the best-selling standard MyPillow. I have 6 of them. I like a lot of pillows. $14.98. That is a huge deal. So take advantage of the first-ever mega sale. Go to MyPillow.com, use promo code STARNS, or call 800-839-8506. That's 1-800-839-8506. But wait! There's more! Remember that $75 free shipping rule, Ben Dieter?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that ship has sailed, baby. The train has left the station. Because right now, for a limited time, every order at MyPillow ships for free. MyPillow.com, promo code STARNS, or call 800-839-8506. All right, I want to run through some numbers here for you so you'll have some idea of what I'm talking about when it comes to all of this government assistance stuff. And again, the Republicans are under fire because they want to reform the way SNAP is run. Now, this is important, and here are these numbers. 1 in 3 Americans gets government assistance. Let me say that again. 1 in 3, 1 out of every 3 Americans is on some form of government assistance, whether it's health care, public housing, food stamps. 1 in 3 Americans. Those numbers, they're unsustainable, folks. Unsustainable. 9 million people live in public housing. That's housing paid for by you and me. So not only are you, where's Ben? Ben, you actually have a nice place. You got an apartment. You pay your rent. You'd probably like to live in the penthouse, but you can't live in the penthouse because your tax dollars are going to cover somebody else's.
Well, you
rent.
Could be the government.
And I'm not going to do
give
that.
Yeah. A little, I know Christmas has passed and the bonus already came in, but I mean, we have a holiday coming up, St. Patrick's Day, maybe a St. Patty's bump. Bonus, please.
Are you Irish?
I want that penthouse, Todd. Give me the pot of gold.
You want that deluxe apartment in the sky?
I do.
Get this: 42.1 million Americans are on SNAP. 42.1 million Americans. Now, Dieter, you ready for these numbers? The unemployment rate is at 6 million. Roughly 6 million Americans are without work right now. All right. And yet 42.1 million Americans are getting food stamps.
Something's not adding up.
No, it's not.
Is what you're telling me.
So, but here's the number I want us to focus on. There are currently, according to some estimates, and I think these numbers are far higher, but I'm going to go with the lower number just to make my point. Right now, the pro-immigration crowd will tell you there are 8.3 million illegals working on American soil, 8.3 million illegals who have a J-O-B on American soil right now. So, Ben, if that is true, and again, I think those numbers are far greater than that, then you literally have illegals doing jobs that could be done by law-abiding American citizens, 6 million of them.
Now, I'm going to play the devil's advocate or the AOC advocate. They would say, well, those Americans, the 6 million that are unemployed, law-abiding American citizens would never do the jobs that those 8 million plus illegals are doing. So we've got to have them. And they're probably, to some extent, right, because those same, I'm not generalizing, but a lot of those Americans, why would they go get those jobs picking the berries when they can just go to their Walmart and their berries are given to them along with donuts and everything else?
It's lazy, and that's the problem. And this is where it will be painful, because you are going to have people out there that are going to be impacted by this. Because if you're an able-bodied man, and by able-bodied, I mean there's nothing wrong with you. You've got all of your limbs. You can see. You can hear. You've got no disabilities. You're able to get up in the morning. And if you're able to walk, you should have a job. And if you don't, there's something wrong with you. And I don't know why the American people have to foot the bill for people. I really don't. 901-260-5926, our number. Let's go to Janice in New Orleans, Louisiana. Miss Janice, what say you?
What I say, Todd, is that there definitely has to be an overhaul. And I, for years, have said this. I wish I could talk to Donald Trump. I really do. Because this is how I would do it. First of all, like I had a friend that from 10 years old, I think it was 10 years old, she had diabetes at 10. And then she worked in her life and everything, but there came a moment in time when she couldn't anymore. And now, of course, she finally died and everything. But the thing is this. You should have to be like Lola. You should have to be 62 and older, and they should, you know, check your income on that. And then sick, you know, diabetes, multiple sclerosis, something, some severe illness where you can't work, or let's say disabled in some fashion, blind. Those should be the criteria. Now, if you're not disabled, you're not blind, you're not with some serious, serious illness, or 62 and older, well, then you shouldn't get the food stamps. I don't know if you ever heard of a guy. Have you ever heard the name Jason Greenslate?
I haven't heard of the guy.
Okay. Well, I'm telling you, you really missed something. He was something else, man. He really was. He still has his Facebook page, but he doesn't put anything on it or anything. He thought he was owed everything. He was sleeping on friends' sofas. He wanted to be a musician. So in the daytime, he'd sit on the beach in California playing his guitar and watching the girls walk up and down in their bathing suits. And he was so entitled, he was getting $200 a month food stamps. And he thought he was hot stuff. There was a radio host I won't mention. I don't know if I could mention. But anyway, he talked to this guy on TV. And he offered to help him. He told him, he says, yeah, you can take and pursue your music career. But he says, in the meantime, why don't you let me help you get a job? He says, I know somebody. You could get a job maybe driving a truck or something. This guy had nothing wrong with him, nothing at all. And he was collecting this money. So I say 62 and older, blind, physically disabled, or seriously ill. And those should be the criteria. If you have two good arms, two good legs, like you said, eyeballs, everything, you're not sick, and you're not elderly, then you should not qualify for food stamps. If you can make a bunch of kids, then go get yourself a job at a brothel.
Oh, my. Well, Miss Janice, the language.
Well, I'm joking, but you know what I mean.
I know there are people. I mean, it's a business. People are popping out babies for checks. That's one of the biggest problems in this country, Miss Janice.
You get, Todd, the more you can get. And, like, you know, if you want to apply for something, if you already have if you have something, you know, some sort of government help, you can get more. But if you don't have any government help, you know, at all, nothing, then, you know, you're not on the take.
Well,
then it's. I want to tell you one more thing.
Real quick, Miss Janice.
Okay. One day, Ben mentioned something about Aldi and 25 cents you put in to get your grocery cart. Well, there's a reason for that, I found out. That's because that's the incentive for you to take the grocery cart when you finish putting the groceries in your car and put it back where you found it, and you can get your quarter back.
Oh, you get your quarter back. Oh, okay. Well, that makes a lot of sense. You know, that actually does make sense. And I say that because whenever I go to Kroger, all of the single-person buggies are gone. Never can find one. And they're always out in the parking lot. So that makes sense. Miss Janice, always great hearing from you. And thanks for calling in from beautiful New Orleans. Let's go to a beautiful Salem, Oregon. KYKN. What a great radio station. The home of program director Dave Bourne. Just a terrific group of folks there. Kathy is on the line. Hi, Kathy. What's going on?
Good morning. You were talking about picking berries. I remember when I was a teenager that berry picking jobs were excellent ways to get money if you were a kid that was raised with a work ethic. And you could pick berries with your friends, eat the berries. It's all good.
Kathy, I'm just curious, how old were you when you got your first job where you were getting money for something you did?
I was about 12.
Yeah. That's, you know, I'm about the same age. Maybe I was doing, I think I started mowing lawns maybe a little bit younger than that. But the point is, I think there are a lot of people that were raised without a work ethic. And I can't tell you how many people, and I get it. You know, some parents say, well, we don't want our kids working. We want them focused on their studies. I just think it's good to have a teenager, to start learning about jobs and responsibilities. And fine, you want to drive the family car around, you're going to have to fill up the gas tank.
Yep.
All right, I'm with you, Kathy. What kind of berries did you pick, by the way?
Strawberries and I can't remember. Those dark purple berries, you know, that they stamp the meat.
Blueberries?
No, not blueberries. Blackjacks?
I don't know. It's a berry thong.
Maybe mulberries.
Mulberries?
No, black caps.
Oh, black caps.
They're like raspberries. They're just like raspberries. They grow in a cluster. All you got to do is barely touch the cluster and they fall into your bucket.
Wow.
They're called black caps.
I had no idea. That must be like an Oregon thing. Ben, are you familiar with, I mean, you're the berry expert here on the Todd Stern Show.
No, and I'm not really a berry expert. I think I ate poison berries, and everything that's wrong with me is a result of eating. I think the holly and the ivy, I thought those were edible.
Can't eat those.
Yeah,
you can't eat those.
Yeah. I'm not Kathy.
Oh, geez, Luke. Kathy, thank you for calling in. Wow, that was weird. Ben Dieter, you ate poison berries?
Yeah. Yeah, you have to be careful, and you've got to do a thorough Google search if your kiddo's out there picking berries. Just a helpful tip.
And let's go to Jessica, listening to us on our website. Hi, Jessica, what's going on?
Well, hey, I think you might be talking about the nightshade family that messes with you, because I've accidentally eaten a couple of those berries, and it changed my life. But anyway, listen, let's put it in a nutshell. You have to have lived here for 5 years legally and working before you can have to accept any government assistance, and you put in your taxes, because I've always heard, I've tried to stay off of these things, I would be dead without my food stamps right now, but I've always heard, don't worry about it, you paid your taxes in, but, you know, I think you're following me. I don't need to go any further. Are you with me?
Yeah, no, Jessica, I like this idea a lot. And again, people are always, look, there are going to be moments when you know what, things are just, you're going to need a helping hand. And I just, you know, I get that. I don't want to be harsh about it. But the reality is, when you got 1 in 3 Americans living on some form of government assistance, something tells me we got a big culture problem in this country.
Right. Well, you know, and I've been getting help because of just circumstances in my life. And I've tried to look at it as a leg up, but it's starting to become a way of life for me. It should be a leg up, not a way of life. And even now I've reached the point that I'm having to use Medicaid. And I say, every time I'm talking to my doctor, I'm doing this so I can get better to go back to work.
Sure.
Not to be on this all the time. So let's target the things that are keeping me from working, not just the pipeline of treatment.
Well, Jessica, thank you for calling in, and thank you for listening. 901-260-5926, our number. Dieter, have you, last night at the University of Memphis, a little bit of national news, Kyle Rittenhouse showed back up to give a speech, TPUSA. And my understanding, there were more protesters there than actual people attending the speech.
Yeah, a lot of kids were really triggered by Kyle returning to the University of Memphis. I would say you had probably 100-plus protesters, 30 supporters of Kyle inside the building to hear Rittenhouse speak.
There was, and again, I'm not a big Rittenhouse fan. I just, for me, it seems like there's so many other great conservatives I would love for the conservative kids in Memphis to hear from. Somebody like a Riley Gaines, for example, or a Ben Dieter, somebody who's young, conservative, has a message. And I just, I just don't understand why TPUSA was so insistent on bringing Rittenhouse back, especially when it caused a near riot the last time. This doesn't make any sense to me. But anyway, Rittenhouse came. They had about 30 students and several hundred protesters showing up. And, sometimes these conservative groups, they do these things. They organize these speeches to try and draw some sort of a reaction so they can fundraise off of that. I just thought it was interesting the last time they came that TPUSA was immediately on Fox News later that night. That was kind of weird, almost like it was all preset, pre-programmed. Anyway, regardless, there is a lot of response and reaction, and there is an adjunct instructor at the University of Memphis by the name of Dennis Padden, P-A-D-E-N. And here's what he wrote on the Daily Memphian website about the TPUSA, the conservative college kids. Yes, Turning Point gets their turn at free speech, but I have the same right to speak back to young fascists who abused my university to practice their poison. I'm employed by the same university as a part-time adjunct instructor. I will use last night as a teachable moment, with the topic being freedom is not free. That coming from adjunct instructor Dennis Padden, or Padden, at the University of Memphis, calling the conservative kids who attend the University of Memphis young fascist. 901-260-5926 our number. This is the Todd Stern Show.
President Trump is moving at lightning speed.
And after that, all hell is going to break out.
Executive orders, new policies, promises kept. It's hard to keep up.
Until now.
Subscribe to the Trump Report. This email brings you daily highlights from the Oval Office right to your inbox 5 days a week.
I will put America first.
It'll help you follow President Trump at the speed of Trump.
All right, real quick, let's go to the phone lines here. Tom in Georgia, WGUN. Tom, what's on your mind today?
Todd, I'll make it real quick. The dirty secret is the food stamp SNAP has all been tied to the ag bill every year. I used to go on behalf of the University of Wisconsin to lobby on behalf of ag research, and I sat in those meetings, and there was no secret that to get the ag bill passed, the Democrats demanded more and more increase in the food stamp or SNAP. The answer in my mind, and I've said it for decades, nobody will ever starve if they give them dry beans, rice, and dried milk. And in Wisconsin, they used to give cheese. I think they've done away with that. But anyway, it all is about commodities, and if everybody's so concerned about people starving, they won't be trading rice for money to buy drugs or whatever.
Well, there you go. Tom, it's a good idea, a great idea, actually, and thank you for calling in. And we're going to talk more about this coming up in just a few moments, but I want to switch gears real quick. I want to talk about Gene Hackman, and it's just a terrible tragedy. He and his wife and their dog found dead in their home in Santa Fe. Now, earlier today, we were told that they do not believe there was foul play involved, but now we're getting word that the deaths are being called suspicious. Now, originally, the police thought that Gene Hackman, who's, 95 years old, They thought it might have been a gas leak or carbon monoxide poisoning, but we're getting some new intel here. It looks like the front door of the family's home was open and was unsecured. And while they found one dead dog, there was another healthy dog. The dead dog was found just a few feet away from Gene Hackman's wife in a closet of the bathroom. There was also a prescription pill bottle that was open with pills scattered next to Mrs. Hackman. So we'll keep you updated on any sorts of developments there, but there were no obvious signs of a gas leak. So it's a very strange story that's unfolding in Santa Fe, and we'll keep you updated on that. Also, we are waiting for information regarding the Epstein files. When that happens, we will let you know. All right, hang tight, everybody. Hour two of the big show coming up. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starn Show.
President Trump is moving at lightning speed.
Billions of dollars in waste, fraud, and abuse.
Executive orders, new policies, promises kept. It's hard to keep up.
Until now.
Subscribe to the Trump Report. This email brings you daily highlights from the Oval Office right to your inbox 5 days a week.
The golden age of America begins right now.
It'll help you follow President Trump at the speed of Trump.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Very honored to have you with us today. I wanted to give you an update on this terrible story coming out of Santa Fe, New Mexico, where two-time Oscar winner Gene Hackman and his wife were found dead. By the way, Betsy, his wife, was a classical pianist. She was much younger than he was. Gene Hackman, 95 years old. She was 63 years old, and they married back in 1991, so they've been married for a very long time. You know, if you asked me to put together a list of, you know, the top five actors of all time, I would have to say that Gene Hackman would have to be on that list. This is really one of the great talents of our lifetime, and just a good man. This is a guy who, when he turned 16 years old, actually joined the Marine Corps. He enlisted in the Marine Corps. He lied about his age so he could get in. And I know that's far into a lot of younger listeners, but before there were computer records, that was a very common thing. But he served in the Marine Corps from 47 to 52, and there were just some just amazing, amazing films. Of course, he was in the John Grisham movie that was filmed here, starring Tom Cruise, filmed in Memphis, Tennessee, and Gene Hackman was one of the stars of that film. The Hunt for Red October, just an all-around an amazing actor, a good man. And you know, I found very interesting, he kept his politics to himself. You never really knew where he stood. And he also did not do television. So if you wanted to go see Gene Hackman, you had to go to the movies. But early on, before he became famous, he did a few TV series. What was it? Route 66, I believe. Then he got, Bonnie and Clyde in 1967. That's when he got his first Academy Award nomination. And I said Hunt for Red October is Crimson Tide. Man, that was one of my favorite movies. And it's Gene Hackman, Denzel Washington. There was another great one starring Owen Wilson. I'm not a big Owen Wilson fan, but Gene Hackman just crushed it, Behind Enemy Lines. So he played a lot of those kinds of roles. But now they're telling us that there is some suspicion about the death. Early on, it was ruled as natural causes, where they just said they didn't look like there was anything suspicious. But now authorities are saying that there are some issues. The bodies, we understand, were each found lying on the floor in separate rooms of their home. This is coming from the Santa Fe, New Mexican, the newspaper there. This latest report that was updated about 10 minutes ago, they say that the early police reports offer questions but few answers on the deaths of both Gene Hackman and his wife. So we don't know if this was some sort of they both decided to go at the same time, or if Gene Hackman died and his wife found him and she could not go on. We don't know. We just don't know at this point. But we're going to keep you updated on any kind of developments here. But man, Gene Hackman, what was the name? Why am I forgetting the name of that movie? I'm sure someone will call in. It was filmed here in Memphis, Tennessee, starring Tom Cruise. Anyway, somebody call in and give me the name of that film. 901-260-5926. I want to play some audio. This is from Senator Marsha Blackburn a few moments ago. The other big story that we are looking at involves the release of the Epstein files. Here is Senator Marsha Blackburn.
This is going to be a phase one release in short order. I will have the hard copy in my hand. AG Bondi is responsible for what will be the public release on this. She has worked diligently on this and so appreciative that we can begin to get this information, that we can begin to break apart what became a global human trafficking, sex trafficking ring, about $150 billion a year business. It is time to get some justice for these victims, for these women and children, and this will be a phase one release. There will be more to come.
So there you have it. We are waiting, and I'm telling you right now, this is a bad move. They need to release it all. Release every single name and let it be done, but they're not going to do that. So we'll see how all of this plays out, but again, it doesn't matter, Republican, Democrat, if your name is on the list, shame on you. All right, I want to play some audio here. This is from Congressman Tim Burchett, our friend from East Tennessee. And now we can tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that your hard-earned tax dollars were actually being used to fund terrorist organizations. Cut number 13.
Mr. Roman, are you aware that we are sending $40 million a week to the Taliban?
Yes, sir.
Can you name other instances of foreign aid going to terrorist organizations?
We have assisted Al-Shabaab in Somalia. There's been instances of the Khamzi Network in Sudan, Hamas, Islamic Jihad, Hezbollah, Kataiba Hezbollah, Hayat Tahrir al-Shams in Syria. Dozens of terror organizations have received indirect assistance from U.S. foreign aid.
Could you elaborate a little bit on the mechanisms in place that are to stop foreign aid from going to terrorist groups, and why are they not working if we have any in place?
Sure.
And I would note that these are terrorist weaponry. You see some AKs, SKSs, some snipers, some clips, some clip carriers probably made in China. And I believe these are small landmines here beside right there.
Let's use Gaza as our case study. $2.1 billion in American taxpayers' money to Gaza since October 7th when Hamas invaded southern Israel. USAID money was going in terms of an emergency use authorization to try to go to parties that USAID formerly had a relationship with in the Gaza Strip. They had to have been vetted by OFAC. They should have been vetted against the special designated terror list from the State Department and from other Treasury organizations. Waivers were granted because they said that there was an emergency use to have that money come in to Gaza, thereby jettisoning the usual typical screening procedures. As a result, 90% of aid that was going from the United States by way of its agents in Gaza ended up in Hamas-controlled areas. And this is ridiculous. Essentially, what the U.S. assistance to Gaza did was underwrite the ability for Hamas to survive until the ceasefire was just passed a few weeks ago. There was no strategic thought for it, and there was no screening.
Seems like the emergency might have been armed terrorists to kill civilians. Would that be accurate?
That's accurate. And even more than that, Samantha Powers, the administrator for USAID, was intent on having Israel not be able to defend itself.
To not be able to defend it.
Correct.
All right, there you go. So that was the back and forth there with Congressman Tim Burchett. $40 million a week of your tax money went to fund Hamas. How about that, ladies and gentlemen? You can't make this stuff up. You just can't. All right, coming up, we've got a crazy story coming out of Washington State involving a teenage girl, 15 years old, and she was warming up for the high school basketball game, and she realized there was a boy on the opposing team. And when she complained about it, they told her there was nothing they could do. And this just happened a few days ago. There was nothing that they could do. And therefore, she decided to sit the game out. Now this teenage girl is under investigation for allegedly misgendering the boy who was pretending to be a girl. So we'll tell you about that. Also, huge developments coming out of the state of Maine, where students are now standing up and fighting back over these transgender policies. And we first brought you this story last week involving the state vowing to defy the president's orders on transgender athletes. So we'll tell you more about that. Before we go to the phones, I want to go to the phones. So Vicky in Jackson, Tennessee wants to help me out. Vicky, I don't know why it's one of my favorite movies, and I cannot remember the name of that movie to save my life.
Yes, I think you're thinking about The Firm.
The Firm. Yes, that's it. The Firm. Yeah. All right. I love that movie.
Yeah, it's been a long time, but I remember enjoying it, but I don't remember really a lot about it, except The Firm was like this evil group of lawyers that were doing shady stuff, and he got caught up in it trying to be a good lawyer. And
so Tom Cruise was the star. Yeah, no, Tom Cruise was the star, and they were laundering money. The law firm in Memphis was laundering money for a mafia family in Chicago. And the whole movie was filmed here in Memphis. And Ben Dieter, where's Dieter? Dieter, turn your microphone on. If you haven't, Dieter, you're going to have to watch The Firm.
The Firm?
Because when you watch that movie, mm-hmm. it makes Memphis look like it's some sort of exotic Mediterranean city.
Really?
Beautifully shot. But that's the way Memphis used to be back in the 1980s, Vicky? The 1990s?
Oh, I think late 80s or early 90s, yeah.
Yeah. It's of course all based on a John Grisham movie. And John Grisham, for our KWAM listeners, you guys remember this. It was 1993. And Gene Hackman played one of the good bad lawyers. So he was one of the good guys in the movie. Anyway, John Grisham is from South Haven, Mississippi, right across the state line. Wow. Vicky, thank you so much for that. Appreciate the intel. All right. Got to take a break. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Keep up with the Trump administration when you subscribe to the Trump Report. This email brings you daily highlights from the Oval Office right to your inbox 5 days a week. Subscribe to the Trump Report.
You know, one of the things I love about this show is we're talking about the Epstein files in one breath, and in the next, we're remembering Gene Hackman and the great movies, and of course, one of them filmed right here in Memphis, Tennessee, where we broadcast our national program, The Firm. And I want to go to Collierville, Tennessee. Doyle is listening to us on KWAM, and Doyle, is this true? I understand you were actually in the movie?
Yes, I was in the movie at Castro. Directly across and working with Gene Hackman on several scenes, depending on which movie, which version you saw. But the most popular one was when he was at Owen Brennan's. I played the part of a senator across from him as he and Tom Cruise were having lunch together, and he was giving Tom Cruise the idea and the protocol of what he needed to do with the firm, such as he guided the young Tom Cruise not to drink alcoholic beverages during business hours. However, he ordered a double martini at the time and greeted me. We had a brief conversation, and then another scene at Court Square, which was cut. I've never seen that version of it, But I've heard that other people have seen that when we were at Court Square and he and Tom were walking by in that time frame. However, in that time frame, I developed a friendship with Gene and a little bit with Tom, but Gene was more my age. And we went out a few times to eat, and he was kind of a loner, but he really studied his craft. He was a good actor, approached it seriously, but having fun as well. He was quite a gentleman, quite a friend to have, just because he was kind of curious about Memphis and this part of the country. And, I mean, I treat it as a loss. Since he left Memphis, of course, I've not seen him, but maybe one or two times. He has kept me in the loop occasionally, sent me a card or a letter occasionally.
Wow, is that right? You know, I've always wondered, and it's always so good to hear that these Hollywood folks are good, decent people, as you just shared about Gene Hackman.
Yeah, he was one of the good people. In his early years of acting, he took all kinds of roles, and he was telling me about some roles he's not very proud of. But at the same time, that was part of what he had to do to really grow in the business and learn and move on through. He'd love to go back to his room, and he rented movies all the time and watched other movies and things of this nature. And I asked him why, you know, it looks like he'd be in the movie all the time. Well, he was still in the process of learning, wanting to expand his craft and expand his career.
Doyle, what a great story, and thank you for sharing it. I want to put you on hold. I want to get your contact information. We'd love to get you back on maybe to talk about some of that in depth. So, Ben, let's put him on hold and get some of that intel. Wow, what a great story. All right, real quick, I want to switch gears. I want to go right away to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. There is a major national convention underway in Dallas, Texas, the National Religious Broadcasters. The president of the NRB, the CEO of the NRB, Troy Miller, joins us live from Dallas. And Troy, I understand you guys have had a pretty spectacular turnout, and I'm curious, what is it that's drawing people to the convention this year?
Oh, thanks, Todd. Thanks for having me. Hope you can hear me just fine, because all the noise here, I'm on our busy convention floor. We have over 5,800 people here this year. You know, there's a hope in America right now. There's just a real sense of hope. Post this election, that we're going to get this country back and get it back on the right track. So Christian broadcasters are going to play a major role in that. So they have just really flocked here to find out, you know, what's going on? What's the latest innovation? What's the latest you're hearing out of Washington? You know, how do we get involved? How do we get started? So the energy here is just incredible.
Troy, while you guys have been at NRB, a treasure trove of documents have been released showing that a number of government agencies, including the CIA, had been privately attacking Christians in these private government chat rooms. Among those who was attacked is somebody who was beloved by the NRB. You actually had CIA officials celebrating the death of the late, great Pat Robertson. Your reaction to those discoveries?
Yeah, isn't that a tragedy that our own government was out there undermining and really belittling and attacking one of the great Christians of this nation, a man who has done so much work, not only in Christian broadcasting, but charity work around the world to bring a disaster relief to millions of people.
That's
and yet
right.
His own government is out there undermining the work of their ministry. It's just a tragedy. We knew the weaponization was going on. We could see it. And now it's just being laid laid out for the world to see.
And Troy, this is the first major gathering of Christians, of people of faith after, you know, since the election. And I'm wondering what's been the mood there at NRB in Dallas.
Oh, electric. That's what I was saying. I mean, the mood is just electric. Everybody, there's so much optimism and so much hope that our country's getting back on the right track, and that all of this weaponization and all of this hate that's been hidden in the administrative state, you know, that is going to get purged out, and we really see an opportunity. It's almost like, we put it this way in my opening session, it's like the playing field has been leveled. President Trump and the administration, they have leveled the playing field, they have balanced the scales, and now it's really up to us to take that responsibility and run forward with it. It's just, the optimism is overwhelming.
Oh, this is terrific. And Troy, we're on a tight break here, so we're going to have to leave it there. But we certainly appreciate you joining us for a few minutes to bring us up to date on the NRB.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right. There you go, folks. Troy Miller, President, Chief Executive Officer of the National Religious Broadcasters. That's pretty despicable, what the CIA officers are doing. Just really despicable. All right, we've got to take a quick break here, folks, and reset. Our telephone number is 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
The Trump administration. When you subscribe to the Trump Report, this email brings you daily highlights from the Oval Office right to your inbox 5 days a week. Subscribe to the Trump Report.
All right, just moments ago, a group of people seen on camera leaving the White House. The White House pool cam caught all of this, and individuals are leaving the White House with binders. Those binders are labeled in red letters, the Epstein Files Phase 1. Now, last night, Pam Bondi on Jesse Waters' show confirmed that the files would be released, or at least some of them would be released starting today. And it appears that has happened. So as soon as the names are released, we'll keep you updated on those developments. Well, we've been very excited to experience more growth here at the Todd Stearns radio program. We're adding three more stations next week to the lineup, and we'll be telling you about all of that in the coming days. But we're very excited to be in St. Louis and the St. Louis suburbs. A great partnership with our friends at the Real Talk Radio Network, KRTK 93.3 FM, KVMO 104.3 FM, and KRTE 107.3 FM. One of the owners of Real Talk Radio joins us right now on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, Tracy Ellis. Tracy, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. We really appreciate it, Todd, and we're excited for the partnership.
Tracy, I love the story, and you and I have had some fun conversations over the past week or so leading up to the show debuting in St. Louis. And I want you to tell our listeners your history of radio, because you and your husband are very successful real estate executives there in the St. Louis area. And tell us how you got your start in radio.
Basically, as you mentioned, my husband and I's primary business is real estate, and I had a very peaceful, wonderful life. And I had always, for probably almost 15 years, had a weekly real estate radio show on conservative talk stations. And I felt like I was making a silent contribution to help the cause by doing so. And in 2020, when, in my opinion, the election was stolen, there was some serious irregularities happening. And then COVID with all the masking and the vaccines, I just was surprised to see a lot of what I thought were so-called conservative stations just kind of moving on and brushing over it and not diving into the subject. But I do understand in corporate radio, like, it's a lot different, and they have to be, you know, they're much more cautious and conservative when it comes to things like that. But I felt like it was important for all of us as Americans to take a stand and speak up now more than ever during that time. So I basically turned our real estate show into more of a place for people to go to find out who I was listening to. So I started listening to who I considered were truthers at the time on podcast, because I wasn't finding it on radio and certainly not on television. And I kind of turned our real estate show, Rick and I started talking about, this is who we're listening to, follow this person. We had listeners calling us in tears, like thanking us. And the station we were on at the time wasn't happy about us talking so much about those topics, and basically said, you know, we couldn't do that any longer. So we decided that was not the place for us to continue contributing our hardworking dollars because we wanted to be on a station that wasn't that was willing to tell people all of the news. We were very frustrated with feeling like, and it still happens today somewhat, to where the media is controlling, especially on certain stations, what people hear. So we wanted to create a station. I said it was totally God, because I definitely should not be doing this. Rick and I, it's not like we had experience running radio stations, but God kind of led us in the right direction, put us with the right people to where, you know, we've been doing that for now 3.5 years.
Wow, it's a remarkable story to, you know, and to hear where you guys were to where you are now. And I think you're onto something, that, you know, locally owned radio stations have so much more freedom. We've got the ability to talk about the issues that the conglomerates just won't let their talk show host address.
Yeah, it's very frustrating, and the listeners are frustrated. So we have now, you know, our app is, I love the app. Listeners are able to actually interact on our app, which is something you can't do on a lot of apps. So while our shows are on air, listeners can ask questions. They can say their own thoughts. For us, it was always about the voice of freedom. That's our branding line. Because I said, we're not here for the senators and the state reps and the congressmen. Do we want them on and welcome them? Of course, but we're a station for the people and the grassroots community. We want to get out all the information and their concerns. So we love that with the app that you can download from Google or Apple with the Eagle logo. People can ask any questions. We have listeners now in 70 countries and every state in the U.S. So we're very proud of that. And our website, realtalk933.com or realtalkradionetwork.com, we're getting several million hits a month on the website now.
Tracy, I'm hearing you explain, you know, the vision and the ethos of what you guys are doing. And Ben Dieter across the window in the control room is like, that sounds just like us here in Memphis, Ben Dieter.
Yes, what you're doing. Yeah, you know, and we need more people like you out there doing the same thing. And you obviously are in the fight every day, being on Newsmax. You've been in the fight for years. And thank goodness for people like you that aren't afraid to take a stand. I know our listeners in Missouri enjoy listening to you, and I love following you on social, and you're just constantly staying on top of it. So,
Tracy, thank you for saying that. Thank you, because I don't know if you've noticed this, I get a lot of hate mail on that Twitter feed, so thank you for saying that. It's nice to have at least one fan out there.
Oh, I think you have more than one, and you know you've made it when you have haters. That's what people keep reminding me.
Sweet mercy.
I'm not used to having that either, and so that's been a tough pill to swallow, but I'm like, I know I'm not doing anything wrong, so I'm not going to worry about it.
But you know what you've done, Tracy, is you and your husband have given just hundreds of thousands of people in the St. Louis area a voice, and a dependable voice. And, you know, that is something that is missing in corporate radio these days. And I think, you know, certainly based on the numbers you've shared, you guys have just hit a home run here. I'm curious, though. I want to pick your brain on some things that are happening in, you know, right now in Washington. How do you think President Trump is doing? How do you grade the president thus far into his presidency?
A+. I'm so pleased. You know, again, I think he is on a completely different mission this time. And I'm just so pleased with the transparency. That's what we need, is transparency. And for all the people enraged about Elon Musk, I'm like, what is wrong with you? What planet are you on that you're okay with billions of our tax dollars being wasted? Like, that is our money. We should know. It's our government. It should all be transparent. The people are the ones putting those people in those positions. Why should we not know where our dollars are being spent? So I'm super pleased with them, and I just think we're going to keep on winning, and I can look forward to that.
It really is exciting, and it's, you know, the pace of it is aggressive, and it has to be. And it's so hard to keep up with all of the news and the developments coming out.
I'm exhausted.
Right?
Yeah, people say that all the time. They're like, what are you going to do now that Trump's in office? What are y'all going to talk about? I'm like, are you kidding? I'm exhausted. Like, I can't even keep up with it.
It's an amazing time to be in America, and it's really a fun time to be in the radio business because you're right, there is so much to talk about. Folks, we have Tracy Ellis joining us on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line from Real Talk Radio Network in St. Louis. And Tracy, when you talk about local coverage, you guys also have some great local hosts as well, and some of them have just massive followings on social media.
We do. I'm so proud of all of them, you know, and I'm grateful that we were able to give people some that weren't in the business, you know, their start, and now they're really taking off. But the morning show, we have Dan Strauss. If people not from St. Louis may not have heard of Frank Opinion before, but he was a icon in the St. Louis area, and Dan Strauss, who hosts the morning crew with Dan and Drew, was Frank Opinion's producer for over 20 years, and he's on our stations along with Andrew Shelton, and they do a phenomenal job. You get a little laughter, some Christian talk as well, but a lot of news. And then following that, we have Rob Carter, who is doing a tremendous job. You know, Rob is just like one of us. He was an executive who got totally, his business was kind of destroyed because of COVID. He traveled a lot to China. All of that got shut down during COVID. It kind of destroyed his livelihood, so he went on a mission to seek the truth. So now he does that every day from 9 to noon. 12 to 2, we have Charlie Kirk, and 2 to 4, we have an awesome, a lot of listeners will know her. She has a huge following even nationally. She does not like to be referred to as an African-American. She's like, I'm a black conservative woman, and that is Peggy Hubbard. Peggy does phenomenal every day, 2 to 4. And 4 to 6, we have Ryan Height, who's been extremely involved in the Phyllis Schlafly organization for nearly 10 years. So I'm very pleased with our local lineup. 6 to 9, we have Mark Levin. And then you, Todd, follow Mark.
So there you go.
We have a great lineup Monday through Friday.
Well, Tracy, we're going to have to leave it there, but we'll definitely be getting you back on in the coming days and weeks, and we're just very excited to be a part of the lineup there at the Real Talk Radio Network, and congratulations on having a terrific, terrific radio station.
Well, congratulations to you. Keep up the awesome work. I'm excited for everything you're doing as well, and you're growing, and now on how many stations?
Oh, geez, Alou. Well over, I think, 100, and we're knocking on the door of 160, I believe, now. So.
Wow. By spring, you'll be over 200.
So I love
keep
it.
Keep up the fight.
All right, Tracy. God bless. Tracy Ellis, everybody, our friends just north of us up the Mississippi River from Memphis. She is the CEO of Real Talk Radio Network. She and her husband have an incredible real estate talk show. It's a lot of fun. All right. Dieter, help me understand what's going on here. So there's video now of these social media influencers that are coming out of the White House, and they're the ones who have the first copies of the Epstein list.
That's correct. So, Todd, you were talking at the bottom of the hour about a group of people that left the White House on the poll cam holding these white folders, and on the big binders that everybody wants to read the word Epstein Files Phase 1. Well, it turns out that those people are Twitter influencers that are holding them. So Liz Wheeler, the libs of TikTok, the girl that runs that account on X. So they are, it appears, curating this, what was classified document through these social media influencers to the American people.
This is a bad move. I just want to go ahead and say it. This is not a good move. You're going to release something like that. It needs to be done in a formal way. It needs to be done through the Department of Justice website, so we all have access to it. And I really... you know, when you release stuff like that to these social media influencers, and they're all out there right now mugging for the cameras, you know, showing their binders and being giddy, this is a serious issue. We're talking about girls who have been abused and trafficked, by possibly some of the most wealthy, most powerful people in this country. And they're running around like it's, I don't know, the Academy Awards out there at the White House. What's going on there?
And I think maybe people, if you are going to have someone from the administration reveal these documents today, you would probably want the Attorney General, Pam Bondi. That's just a thought.
Exactly. This makes absolutely no sense. Someone writing on my Twitter, I'm going to share what Laura Loomer, and I just retweeted Laura Loomer here. She says, I love President Trump, but how embarrassing for the Trump administration that the release of the Epstein files has been fumbled by giving files regarding a landmark pedophile scandal to a group of influencers instead of having an official agency release them. Not a good look. I think she's right. I mean, this is not good at all. And I have nothing against these people. This is a serious moment. And it's being treated very unseriously. This is just a bad, bad step here. And again, I want to go back to last night. Pam Bondi, those documents have been sitting on her desk for weeks now, and there's no reason why they cannot release the entire list. So we're going to be having drips and drabs. That's what's going to be happening here, folks. Drips and drabs. They're going to make this some sort of a spectacle, some sort of a TV or digital event. Like, all right, you got to follow me. If you don't follow me on X, you won't be able to find out who was molesting the children. I'm sorry, but that's bullcrap. That's bullcrap. Release the damn files. All of them. Stop playing politics. Stop mugging for the cameras. Enough of this nonsense. Got to take a break. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show, and we'll keep you updated once the list of names is released by the social media influencers. Let's go to the phones of Ocala, Florida. Richard joins us. Hi, Richard. What's on your mind today?
Oh, I'll be quick. You were talking earlier about all the government waste. A thought come to my mind. It's in the 2 Thessalonians 3:10, and Paul was writing back to the church. And he said, even this we told you when we were yet with you, that if any would not work, neither should they eat. And so my thought is, we got the Lord on our side. I don't have no problem kicking off the able-bodied deadbeats off the government dole. If they're able-bodied, get a job. And if they don't, then take their food stamps away from them. And that's how I feel about that. And another issue, I'd heard on the radio also, that the Hackmans also, their dog was also found dead with them. Did you hear anything about that?
Yeah, one of the dogs was found dead in a closet, and then the other dog was still alive.
Okay. It sounds like foul play, don't it?
It's very suspicious. And again, you know, when you're looking at, he was 95 years old. I'm not sure what his health situation was. So there are a lot of different ways the story can go, Richard. But yeah, it's, there's some very strange developments around this.
Well, sir, I just want you to know, I appreciate you. I sure enjoy listening to you. And keep up the good work bringing us the news.
Richard, thank you so much. We'll do our very best. I can promise you that. So Newsweek is releasing some of the names here. Let's see here. According to Newsweek, the names include Presidents Bill Clinton and Donald Trump, both of whom strenuously deny any wrongdoing. We understand that four of the names released were redacted because they're the names of alleged victims who traveled on Epstein's plane. Among some of the names we are now seeing, we've got Kate Blanchard, the Prince Andrew of England. Well, we knew that. Also, David Copperfield, Cameron Diaz, Leonardo DiCaprio, Alan Dershowitz. So it's sort of a who's who of Hollywood so far on this Epstein list. All right, hang tight, everybody. Got to take a quick break. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. This is the Todd Stearns Show.
Live From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Very happy to have you with us today. A lot going on. A lot of breaking news. President Trump meeting with the Prime Minister of the U.K., we're monitoring that story. We'll let you know if the president makes any news. Coming up tonight, by the way, 5 o'clock Eastern on the Todd Starnes TV show on Newsmax, we're going to be talking to the Secretary of Veterans Affairs, Doug Collins, will be joining us in the first hour of the program. Looking forward to that conversation. And by the way, speaking of Newsmax, I hope that you are now watching Newsmax. I hope you become a Newsmax fan. We're doing a lot of the stuff they used to do back at Fox back in the old days. And when I say they, I mean my show. We are doing what was very successful for Fox back in the early days. And we just have a show that people enjoy. And we love it that you guys are tuning in. By the way, Reuters says Newsmax is now one of the top news brands in America. And again, you can find it on all major cable systems. You can also download the Newsmax app for free. Start watching. You're going to get great shows. You got Rob Schmidt, Greta, Rob Affinity, Carl Higbee, and yours truly. So I want you to go check them out. Find out why millions of Americans have made that switch. You can watch my show on Newsmax.com. If you're on the road, you're going to love it. Trust me on that. And you're also going to be able to check us out on cable and satellite TV. Well, we told you moments ago that a group of social media influencers were provided binders filled with the Epstein files. I think it's a bad look. I really do. I think something of this magnitude should be released by the Attorney General and not a bunch of people that have large followings on social media. And what's bothering me, I think really what's bothering me is they're treating this they're smiling and mugging for the camera. I know Tony Kennett's weighing in on this from the Daily Signal. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line real quick. Our good friend Rob Bluey joins us. He is president and executive editor of the Daily Signal. And it's funny, Rob, I was reading what Tony wrote, and I think he and I are sort of the same mindset here.
Todd, it's good to be with you again. Thank you. It comes as a surprise to me that this is how that they decided to distribute it. But let's face it, we live in a completely different media age than the one that you and I came up in. This was evident during the campaign when President Trump decided to forego the traditional media interviews with 60 Minutes and all those other platforms. And what did he do instead? He went to Joe Rogan and Logan Paul and all these other podcasters who have massive followings. And so I just think it's a reality of the times that we live in, and it proved successful. I mean, he had, I think, 124 million views compared to Kamala Harris's 4 million. So he absolutely dominated that space, and he's worked with influencers in the past and probably will continue to do so in the future.
I mean, I know a lot of these influencers. I follow them. They follow me. They're all good people. But you know what? They've all gotten stuff wrong before. And my concern is you're releasing something of this magnitude, and it's not coming from the Attorney General herself. You know, it's just coming from a handful of people she follows on X. When you talk about transparency, that kind of concerns me. Release it to everybody.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's usually the best policy, is to put it out there. This is exactly what Doge has been doing, and why I think Doge has been so successful. You know, they build a website. They make this information available. They double check it with USAspending.gov. I mean, there's a whole process that anybody, frankly, whether you're an influencer or you're just, you know, an everyday American who uses social media, can go and have access to that information. And so I do hope that is an approach that this government takes. I think that transparency oftentimes is one of the reasons why Joe Biden ended up in the predicament that he was in. The American people lost trust and confidence in him based on a whole series of decisions where it looked like he was hiding things from them, and probably was hiding things from them for many years. And so, I'm a total advocate for doing that and making sure that those of us who are, whether, you know, it's your radio show or your Newsmax show or the Daily Signal, still, you know, has access to that information and we can pursue our own story.
No, I have nothing against the people who got this information, but you know, we've spent the last I don't know how many years complaining about how the left wing media is out there excluding people from the White House press pool, and you know, so again, it's bad when both sides do it, is I think the point I was trying to make here. And Rob, when we talk about the White House press pool, you know, the White House made news by announcing they're going to be picking their own press pool. It's not going to be the White House Correspondents Association. What's your take on that?
Well, we are very excited, Todd, and I'm pleased to report that our very own Elizabeth Mitchell from the Daily Signal, our White House correspondent, was serving as the pool reporter today under the new media label. And so the White House obviously identified her as somebody that they could trust to get the information out to the rest of the press corps. She was just at the press briefing, the meeting with the UK Prime Minister and Donald Trump. She was able to ask a question, and I think that's ultimately what this is about. It's not necessarily who's in the room. I mean, anybody can transcribe the remarks. I mean, you could just have a stenographer do that. It's what types of questions are being asked of the leader of the free world and all these other dignitaries who come and visit with him. And so for many years, the Daily Signal and other organizations were excluded from that process. In fact, the last time we did this was back in 2020. And then when Joe Biden came into office, he systematically removed all of those people. It goes back to my earlier comment about transparency. I don't think the American people could trust him because he relied on a certain group of gatekeepers to get the news out. In many cases, they were favorable to him. And so this is an important change. I hope that more people take advantage of the opportunity to apply for that new media seat and have an opportunity of their own to ask questions.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I know the Correspondents Association, and it's very interesting that Fox News, which they've got one of their reporters, one of their White House correspondents is actually on the board of the White House Correspondents Association, and they're fighting mad over this as well. But the reality is that back, you know, was it in 2023, and Rob, you wrote about this, that the White House purged over 400 reporters using the new press credential rules.
That's exactly right. Well, and this goes back to the whole concept of you know, do you what does it mean to be a legitimate news outlet? And so back in 2017, going back to the first Trump term, you remember that there were disputes that Trump had with people like Jim Acosta, CNN, and Brian Karam from Playboy magazine, and those individuals, you know, really didn't exhibit the decorum in the White House, and so Trump wanted to make some changes, and ultimately he lost. I mean, those cases were ruled against the Trump administration, and so Biden had his own set of people that he didn't really want to give access to or answer questions, now for a different set of reasons. And so we were among those people that he decided to exclude and take away our access to the White House. What happened was, and as a result of that, is any reporter who wanted to get a hard pass at the White House would need to first get approved by either Congress or the Supreme Court. I mean, the steps that were involved were just very arduous, and it led to the Daily Signal ultimately becoming its own independent news organization because we couldn't do so under the auspices of the Heritage Foundation. And so in many cases, it worked out for us. But the new rules that Caroline Leavitt and the Trump administration have put out this week, I think, are really a fresh look at how media operates today, not how it did years ago.
Yeah. Rob Louie is with us from the Daily Signal. Rob, thus far, President Trump, it's almost like drinking water from a fire hydrant. What's been your impression of the presidency so far?
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know as well as I do, working in the news business, that it's hard to keep up. There are so many stories and so much news to cover. I think that it's a strategy on the part of the president, frankly, to flood the zone with so much that the left really can't attach itself to anything. I mean, they've tried to do so with Doge, and I think they've, you know, tried to land some blows on Elon Musk. But, you know, the polling that's come out this week suggests that the American people have actually been craving somebody to go into Washington, D.C. and shake up the status quo and cut wasteful government spending. So I would say that the president is on the right path. Do I agree with every single policy? No, I think that there are differences that conservatives can have with President Trump, but on a whole, you know, the American people, and I think the conservative movement at large, is very pleased with what they've seen, and probably more so than any other Republican, at least in our lifetime.
Yep. All right, Rob, we're going to have to leave it there, but certainly appreciate your great observations on things over at the Daily Signal.
Thank you, Todd. Have a great day.
All right, Rob Louie, everybody, on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. All right, so we're Dieter, do we know if that they have they actually released the information that's in the binders? This is all very confusing.
No, it went to Liz Wheeler, and basically we're still waiting for her to give the binder up. Now, Liz would be a conservative influencer. You know, it seems to me if I got a binder, I would just immediately open my phone and start distributing the pages, right? Like, think about it. Think about all of your listeners. If you got this information that, what, for the last 4 or 5 years, we've been Netflixing over, I mean, HBO, everybody has a Epstein Island documentary at this point, and you're given a binder, the first thing I'm going to do, if I've got phase one, I'm going to release phase one to everybody. So no word at this time when those names are going to come out of the binders to the American people.
Do you know, there was, here's the problem I have with all of this, is that you have no way of knowing if this information has been verified. Are they getting it right? And I say that because, what was it yesterday? That Obama was getting millions of dollars in royalty checks based off of Obamacare. And man, that story blew up all over social media, all over the place. It turned out not to be true.
Yeah, and now what we're learning, Todd, according to one of the influencers that got the binder, here is what DC Drano, that I no idea what his name is, but he's a big deal apparently on X. He said, according to his conversation with Attorney General Pam Bondi, she confirmed this morning that there are 1,000 more Epstein filed documents that are being secretly held in their skiff, and that they will be delivered to the DOJ in D.C. by February 28th. So now we're looking at the 28th of February to get those documents, thousands more. So we could get some today, but we could get thousands more tomorrow.
So I'm reading this. Journalist and TV host Emily Austin, are you familiar with her?
No.
Okay. Journalist and TV host Emily Austin leaves the White House with the first batch of the Epstein files, confirming, quote, the rumor, I gotta read this to you. I'm just gonna play it straight. The rumors are true. The Epstein files, baby. Let's make America safe again.
That was her statement?
That's her statement. Yeah, true. Yes.
There wasn't more?
No, there's.
There wasn't even a name?
No.
Gosh, Netflix did a better job with their drop of names. That was a good documentary, by the way. You've got to watch it.
It's all very strange. And I've been concerned about Pam Bondi, and I think others are as well, which is why you had the effort by the Congress folks, Luna and others, Tim Burchett, others that were saying, we got to get those files out.
Okay, so this is just coming from Luna right now. So this is Anna Paulina Luna, Congresswoman out of Florida, and she's really been the one leading the effort to charge for full transparency from our DOJ. She just said, oh man, my laptop just died, Todd. You've got to pull it out. Jeffrey Epstein or whoever is really not wanting that information out there. You've got to pull out her statement because she's livid over this right now.
Wow. Okay. So... We're going to find that information and we'll get it. We've got to take a quick break here. But again, it's just a weird situation. I'm assuming that even members of Congress haven't even gotten this information, even the Republicans. But by golly, the social media influencers, baby, they've got it.
Yeah.
We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Man, we had so much fun with our friends at Priority Gold. They were on the program this week, and they love our listeners so much, and they want to help you guys make sure that you're preserving your retirement funds and your savings accounts. And you know, a lot of us, we throw the money in a 401k. Some of you guys have pensions, and the problem with the 401k is that may or may not be there, depending on how the markets are doing. So you need to diversify your savings and your retirement, and young people especially, you need to start right now. And one of the ways you can do that is by getting gold or silver or precious metals. And our friends at Priority Gold are very helpful, and they want to send you some information. This is no strings attached. They want to send you some free information on wealth preservation. And it is a step-by-step roadmap to help you fortify your savings with gold. There is, again, no cost, no obligation, and you get it instantly. All you need to do is visit them at PriorityGold.com/Todd. That's PriorityGold.com/Todd. Or you can text them. So get out your smartphones right now and text the word Todd, T-O-D-D, to 24999. That's Todd to 24999. All right, so this is kind of exploding here, and we're going through this together. This is a colossal mess. So the Epstein files were just given to a bunch of social media influencers. Now, Congresswoman Ana Paulina Luna just put out a statement mere moments ago, and Ben Dieter, she's enraged over this. Yeah. She is furious.
Yeah, and you're getting two sides of the coin. I'll read real quick what Ana Paulina Luna wrote on X just moments ago. I nor the task force were given or reviewed the Epstein documents being released today. A New York Post story just revealed that the documents will simply be Epstein's phone book. Now, this is in all caps, so clearly the emphasis is she's mad. This is not what we or the American people asked for. Get us the information we asked for instead of leaking old info to the New York Post.
This is not good. So, again, the New York Post got some intel, apparently, and maybe they were, well, they said they were it's quoting old. A source.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were quoting a source. And again, this is from, 1 o'clock Eastern time. When this story was released, they said the release spans more than 100 pages, including a list of contacts. So basically, it's a guy's phone book,
which we already had. That's what Luna Paula is referring to.
All right. So what's going on here? Here's
what Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene just released. The Epstein list is going to be released. And much more is coming. There is currently a war raging within. The resistance within will be beaten and the truth will be revealed. Now she's saying, Marjorie Taylor Greene, I'm so proud of AG Pam Bondi. Don't believe anyone who tries to sow discord or doubt, even some members of Congress and those who think are on our side, is essentially the take coming from the Congresswoman out of Georgia.
So again, I don't understand MTG here because we haven't received anything. And if it's just the phone book, I'm not sure that's, I mean, okay, well, anybody's phone number could be in there. You know, what's that going to do? So this is very interesting. MTG releasing this statement, clearly, you have to imagine this is directed at Congresswoman Luna.
Absolutely.
But I'm curious, what does it mean the resistance within will be beaten? I mean, all Luna's wanting is for the information to be released. So when is it going to be released? That seems to be the question here, and that seems to be the controversy.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
What a mess.
What a mess. You know, there's a very simple solution. Just release it all. You got it. Just put it all out there. Let the chips fall where they may. All right, folks, what do you think's really going on here? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. Let's get right to our phone lines. Hendersonville, North Carolina. Debbie is on the line. Hi, Debbie. What's going on?
Hey, Todd. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Appreciate it.
I want to make a quick comment about the influencers. With all of the speculation and airtime that we're giving them, we're kind of playing right into their hands. We don't know what was given to them. We're making a lot of speculation. I just want everybody to take a deep breath, and let's just wait and see. We've got to trust the process that this is not what happened. That's all I wanted to share.
Well, Debbie, I appreciate that, and it's always good advice. I just will say that this administration, you know, they've got a lot on their plate, and the president needs to make sure that everybody is on the same page. And we'll see how Pam Bondi does, but right now I think this is a misstep. This is not something, you know, when you look at what we're dealing with here, which are horrifying sex crimes, I'm not sure that's something that you need to be mugging for the cameras, you know, outside the White House. I think it's just the wrong tone and tenor. And, you know, I'm old school. I think that ought to come from the platform, the podium of the Justice Department with the Attorney General and all the, you know, all the other top law enforcement agency officers surrounding her. But I'm just old school like that. But Debbie, thank you for the call. A 15-year-old girl in Washington State facing an investigation after she refused to compete in a basketball game against a boy pretending to be a girl. So the person we're talking about, her name is Frances Stout. She is a sophomore in the Tumwater School District. During warm-ups at a recent basketball game, this happened just a couple of weeks ago, she realized that one of the players on the other team happened to be a boy. She was probably up there doing layups, and she was like, wow, who's the chick with the hairy underarms? And well, it turned out to be a dude. So she alerted her coach, and she said, coach, there's a guy on the team. And the coach said, well, look, there's nothing we can do. They called over a school official, and they actually berated the girl. And they said, what, are you afraid of getting, you know, pushed around? Are you afraid of getting, you know, shoved to the ground during the game? That's the game. No, the game is girls' basketball, which implies that there should be girls on the court, sir. So anyway, Frances, her mom was there, and she withdrew from the game. She said, I can't play against a boy. And she was forced to watch the rest of the game from the sidelines. So now, the school district is investigating Frances, and they're charging her with misgendering the male player on the opposing team. This is all happening in Washington State. Now, the Foundation Against Intolerance and Racism is now representing Frances, the teenage girl, and they say the school district has violated her constitutional rights. Now, the College Fix did a story about Frances. She says that she's ready to fight, and this young girl, 15 years old, and she says that she's willing to speak out against this wrongdoing so she can help other female athletes across the nation. Good for you, Frances. She's got spunk. Now, first of all, there's a very simple fix here. We need to alert the White House, and we have already reached out to the Doge folk on X and said, hey, you might want to pay attention to what's happening here, and President Trump might need to be aware because that school district needs to lose all federal funding. And that's how we've got to play this game, people. That's how we've got to play the game. You're going to disobey the executive orders? Fine, there's a price to pay for that. So meanwhile, up in Maine, where all you-know-what is breaking loose, and we miss all of our good friends at WLOB, but in the state of Maine right now, you've got people that are openly defying Donald Trump. And now you've got teenagers that are standing up at school board meetings and they're saying, hey, wait a second. This is not right. All over this idea that boys can play in girls' sports. And I want you to listen. We've got a couple of teenagers. These are kids. They get it. They know what's going on. This is Julia. She is a teenager. She goes to the school there in Freeport, Maine, and she was addressing the school board meeting. Cut four.
Hello, my name is Julia Dietrich. I'm from Bristol, Maine. I'm a junior at another Midcoast high school. And even though I'm not a student at Freeport High School, I would like to show my support for a team that rightfully earned its place in competition, only to have that opportunity taken away by an unfair policy that ignores the integrity of women's sports. Enough is enough. It is time for female athletes across Maine to take a stand against the Maine Principals Association and the governor's policies that are failing us. We have trained, we have sacrificed, we have played by the rules, yet we are being forced to watch as the rights and opportunities of female athletes are stripped away. If those in power refuse to protect fairness in women's sports, then we must make them understand the consequences of their decisions in the only way they seem to understand, through time, resources, money, and undeniable public pressure. For the past 3 years, I have competed in congressional debate, which is another organization governed by the MPA. Even in debate, there's a culture in the state of Maine that is anti-woman, and our own state judges making comments such as, your voice is too feminine. You would never be taken seriously if you continue to hold yourself that way. Your views are unreasonable. The fight is not just about one team, one championship, or one season. This is about every girl in the state of Maine who has ever laced up her shoes, stepped onto the field, prepared for a tournament, or poured her heart into a competition, believing that she had a fair shot. It is time to act.
It is time to act. And good for this young lady for speaking out. And my question is, where are the adults? Where are all the adults? Because I know how all of you moms and dads out there, you don't buy into any of this garbage, but you're afraid to speak out. Can't be afraid to speak out. I want you to listen to this kid. His name is Jack. He's one of the young student athletes at the same school board meeting. Cut 10.
I fully believe in protecting women's sports. I ran track and field, and I did pole vault. And I know firsthand how much strength and power it takes to compete. And I really think that's why the MPA failed here. They should have had policies in place to ensure that girls' sports remain fair. Instead, they let the situation, I think, spiral into chaos. And this isn't about left versus right. I don't think it's anything has to do with politics. It's just about fair competition. Two of our own lost a fair shot at a championship medal because an athlete who had competed in the boys' division 2 years ago was allowed to compete in the girls' pole vaulting, and I personally think that is not fair. I think the MPA, Greeley High School, and governing bodies must step up to protect girls' sports while also ensuring that no 16-year-old is ever thrown to the wolves like this again. At the end of the day, no child should have to become a martyr for this debate. We can do a lot better.
We can. And I'm just so, it's so encouraging to hear these young people so well-spoken getting up there and talking in front of adults and the school board. That's a tough thing, even for an adult. But for a teenager to be able to do that and to do it and get right to the point and right to the heart of it all. The kids get it. They get it. So the very latest is that the state lawmaker in Maine, Laurel Libby, who first brought this to everyone's attention, and by the way, we broke that national story last week, so everybody else was playing catch-up, but we had Laurel Libby on the show last week, both on the radio show and the Newsmax show. Laurel Libby has now been officially censured by the State House. She is no longer allowed to speak in the Capitol building. You understand what this is all about? This is about putting women in there. That's what the whole transgender movement is about, putting women in their place. Anyway, Laurel Libby was on News Nation last night. Take a listen to what she had to say.
I'm not going to apologize. I'm not going to apologize for speaking the truth. I'm not going to apologize for speaking up for Maine girls who are being thrust aside by this extreme agenda. It's not about a post. It's about their agenda being exposed. It's about the continued silencing of Maine women and Maine girls. That is the issue at hand here. So they're trying to change the narrative and say it's about a post when it is about a much bigger issue, and that is Maine women and girls getting shoved to the side and biological males taking their place.
There you go. That's what it's all about. All right, got to take a quick break here, folks. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. When you think about your banking, by the way, and this has been a big, big issue on the national scene, all of these good conservative people, Christians that are being debanked, so many Christian ministries, so many conservative groups, they get a letter in the mail saying, you know what, you've been canceled. And you know how hard that is just to change banks. I mean, just the planning involved, it's still difficult. But imagine just getting a call one day, yep, we're shutting you down. That's devastating. And so we have a solution to that. And that's why I want to tell you about Old Glory Bank. They are an FDIC-insured bank created to protect your privacy, your security, and your liberty. Co-founded by our good friend Dr. Ben Carson, Larry Elder, John Rich, they serve tens of thousands of very happy customers in all 50 states. And I want you to go check out what they offer. OldGloryBank.com/Stearns. If you are a veteran or a first responder, they've got some special things just for you. OldGloryBank.com/darns. Go check them out today. Open your account and put your money in the hands of people you can actually trust. You know, Dieter, I was reading this on X, and I'm not sure who the original source was, or else we would give them credit. But again, this is, I guess when I saw people treating this like, could you imagine, for example, they finally figured out the truth behind who was behind the Trump assassination attempts, and social media folks come out just giddy, oh, look what we have. You don't have this, but we've got it. Woohoo, baby. Oh, by the way, do we have that audio? Oh, let's listen to it. Yeah, this is one of the influencers.
I saw y'all on the internet coming for Cash Patel saying he's day 5 and we haven't gotten the Epstein files. Well, I'm here outside the West Wing and look at what we got today. The Epstein files, baby. Let's make America safe again.
Somebody put this all in perspective. Adults do not have sex with children. They are child rapists. Adults do not touch children sexually. They are child molesters. Adults do not beat up children. They are child abusers. Adults do not transport kids for sex. They are child sex traffickers. Adults do not take the lives of kids. They are child murderers. Do not downplay what these monsters are doing to these kids. And I think that's what's getting lost here, is that you've got hundreds of victims, young girls. Their lives have been changed forever. And we're just, that's a social, hey, whatever we got to do to get the clicks, right? That's what it's all about. We're going to talk more about this 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax, but Anna Paulina seems to be doubling down here. I don't know what's going on. There is some sort of a battle within the Republicans, and it makes absolutely no sense. And Dieter, it seems to me that out of all the fights, this one should be an easy one.
I agree. I think they should have dropped it right ahead of the Oscars, which are on Sunday, by the way.
If it's not going to be the Attorney General, I would have liked to have had, I don't know, Ricky Gervais announce who all the people are in there.
Yeah.
But here's what I want to see. I mean, there are criminal acts that have occurred. I want to see mass arrest. Are we? Is that what's happening? Are we waiting for law enforcement to sweep across the nation?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think here's what you have to do. When you have a big drop like this, this is a huge deal. You have to set expectations. And maybe that's what Pam Bondi was doing yesterday on Fox. Maybe that is why she was telling Jesse Waters, we're going to try to get you some of those Epstein files, because the hype around this has been built up and it's been crescendoing, and everybody in America, really across the world, have been waiting for this. And unfortunately, when you hype it up, you've got to meet expectations. And I think a lot of people's expectations, as the New York Post pointed out, are very, very disappointed and dashed.
If it's just the phone book, and you talk about embarrassing, could you imagine you were summoned to the White House and you're running outside mugging for the cameras and it's nothing more than a phone list that everybody kind of had?
Yeah. I mean, what would you do, Todd, if you got a binder?
What would I do? I would have reported it. I would have immediately released the information. But then again, I'm not in a situation where I'm not, you know, and again, we go through this every election cycle, Dieter, and it doesn't bother me as much as it used to. But when these folks get elected, they have their cool kids. You know, they get the cool kids table and, you know, they have their favorites. And then there's everybody else. And, you know, it is what it is. But we don't worship anybody. We don't bow down to anybody. We just come on this radio show every single day, give my opinion. We share news. We have conversations. None of that ever changes. And the reality is, all of these people that suck up to administrations, Democrat, Republican, it doesn't matter. You know, those people go away.
Yeah.
You know, their fame is fleeting. We work every single day. We've been doing this for decades. And people, you know, they know what to expect.
And I know you. You actually would have screenshotted every page inside the binder.
I wouldn't have been outside. I would have been seated in a bench somewhere inside.
Just screenshotting
everything.
Yeah, screenshot before they take the binders away. Publish, post, get it out there.
I didn't even get to this story. I wanted to talk about RFK Jr. He's actually praising a fast food chain, Steak and Shake.
Ooh, I love Steak and Shake.
Man, I haven't been to a Steak and Shake in forever. So they're doing away with seed oils.
Mm-hmm.
This is a good news. I mean, you're the health expert here.
Yeah,
on the Don
seed
Stern
oils
show.
Will kill you. So you've got to cook your food, your fries, and things like lard or beef tallow. Butter is also really good for you.
What about Crisco? What about corn? Like,
that's for greasing down your car and for the mechanic shop, Todd.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah, you don't want to lubricate your organs with what should be used for your car and maybe the mechanic at your garage.
You see, I disagree with that. Crisco has been around. I mean, our families grew up on Crisco. I know they didn't live long, but they ate well. I'm just saying.
They're dead, but they enjoyed the biscuits.
Oh, this is exciting news. I am a huge Egg McMuffin guy. And you know who else is a huge Egg McMuffin guy?
Who?
Every single day, he drives himself through the drive-thru of McDonald's to get an Egg McMuffin. And that would be none other than one of the wealthiest men in the world, Warren Buffett.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. He loves the Egg McMuffin. Anyway, McDonald's is going to have an Egg McMuffin day, and they're only going to charge a dollar for the Egg McMuffin. Mm. I love that because, you know, eggs are getting a little pricey.
But McDonald's says they're not passing that surcharge along to their consumers. So shout out to McAdee's, because everybody else in America, like Bob Evans, all of these different places, breakfast joints, are passing the cost of eggs that are skyrocketing onto the consumers. McDonald's says not doing that.
I like that.
Yeah,
good for you,
too.
McDonald's. You know, it's they're getting better. And I think if you have the right owner-operators locally, McDonald's could rival Chick-fil-A, because Chick-fil-A is pretty darn expensive. It's sort of high-end fast food now. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're socking it to you, and it's their pleasure. But, you know, anyway, good for you, McDonald's. All right, folks, hang tight, buckle up. We don't know what's going to happen between now and 5 o'clock Eastern, but we'll tell you all about it on Newsmax 2, and tomorrow we'll go all over it again on the Todd Stearns radio show. ToddStearns.com. Check it out, ladies and gentlemen. Get out there. You be good, America.